episode 54 of the Walking Leader podcast, and I am your host, David Guerra, author of The Walking Leader, and I do thank you for your time. I thank you for stopping by and downloading and listening or pressing the play button. Thank you. I do appreciate it. And I want to hear from you. Follow me on Twitter at Dave Guerra. That's the @DaveGuerra. Follow me on Twitter or drop me an email, dave@daveguerra.com. I sure like to hear from you, and I definitely want to hear your comments about this podcast series. We're going to continue with Bad Leaders Aren't, and we're going to talk about the ones that are nobody's buddy, or not buddies to anybody, or not buddy to any. You know what I'm talking about. Those leaders that are not friendly with anybody, they don't make buddies, they're just stick to themselves. It happens. It happens more often than not. It really does. And they're just about everywhere. I'd be hard-pressed to find an organization that doesn't have a leader like that or somebody in a leadership position. See, they detach themselves. They choose to detach themselves from everyone. And when I mean everyone, I mean every single person in the organization, including the person that hired them. And that's not a good thing. It never is. It never will be. And that's also a sign of, a bad leader. Because again, you want to be a leader. You got to be out there. You got to be accessible. You have to, I'm not saying best friends or like in the previous episode where, you got to be buddy-buddy with everybody to the point that it's just not a good thing. But now I'm talking about the other side, those that choose not to be. See, and this is kind of personal because, again, there was a time when I was that person. I was that type of individual. I just detached myself, but yet on the position I had, the job I had to do, what I was doing, I was a leader. And that's, for lack of better terms, I wasn't a manager at the time. I wasn't responsible for people, but I was responsible for a lot of critical operation systems in the organization. So through attrition, it doesn't matter. I was still a leader. People came to me with their problems, came to me looking for answers. They turned to me when something went wrong. But I detached myself. And it varies. The reasons why individuals do this, it varies. It could be any number of things. However, I know exactly, in my case, how and why it happened. See, it stems from something that happened many years ago when I was a kid. And again, stuff that happens back then does affect us today. It affects who we are because we grow up into that. And it shapes and it molds us. And that's why it's critical that you have a support system growing up. It's critical that you have an awesome support system as you're making your way through the ranks. And it's even better and highly encouraged to have an even greater support system once you've achieved a certain level. And you're there, you're up at the top, and people turn to you. You still need support. But it all trickles up or trickles down. It trickles up in time. So again, I know exactly what happened. See, and I'm going to let you in a little bit. I'm going to pull back the curtain just a little bit. And let's go back. Ooh, late 1970s, early 1980s. My father was career Army. And so we were with him. And we were in Washington, D.C., Maryland. And he was one of the high-ranking non-commissioned officers in his section. A non-commissioned officer, for those of you that don't know what that is it's a rank between enlisted 4 and enlisted 9, or E4 to E9. E4, corporal, and sergeant, staff sergeant, sergeant first class, master sergeant, first sergeant, sergeant major, basically all the ones with sergeant and including corporal. Those are non-commissioned officers. So he was one of the high-ranking non-commissioned officers in his section. And we were living in on-base housing at the time, so which was pretty cool because we got to live with other family members they had their houses, we had ours. It was really neat. It's great experience growing up. People always coming and going. You get to meet new people, make friendships. They leave. Somebody comes in or you leave and you go to another base and you make great friendships. But I digress. So again, he was one of the high-ranking NCOs in his section, and he was also one of the very few married soldiers in his section. And as we had a house and it was there on base housing and everything, there was one day there was this party at our house, and just about everyone from his section was at the party. And I guess out of some sense, or my father must have felt some sense of obligation to entertain the troops at his house or his home, as, you know, most of them were single soldiers living in the barracks. And if you've never lived in barracks, it's very restrictive. There's only so much you can do, so much just letting it out and relaxing you can do on the weekends and after hours. So to get invited to somebody's house was always, in my opinion, was always an honor. It was always welcomed, and it was never expected. However, you know, I don't know what happened. And, you know, I'm not going to get into the this and that and this and this, but by the end of the evening, I found that most of the people that were invited to our home were drunk and were just being outright disrespectful to my father. And again, that kind of, I saw it and it bothered me. It's like, well, you know, who are these people? They're invited to our home, and yet now they're being disrespectful and to my father, to my parents, basically. And while, you know, that was outside, there was also people inside. And I walked in at one point, and there was this one individual. She was just drunk. She was very disrespectful to not just the people around her, but again, to the home, to my family, to my parents, to my father. It was, you know, again, and she was openly talking bad about him in front of my brothers and I. So it's like, holy moly, what the heck's going on? So it was kind of, I remember that stuck. And later on, I found out what was going on and what happened and how it all came to be. But again, you don't go to people's homes and just be that disrespectful. I mean, who raises kids like that? What kind of parents do they have? You know, and that's what I think. Because again, you know, my parents didn't raise me that way. But again, it's just that these people found it so easy to do this. And I was like, whoa, okay, I can see this. And so later on in life, you know, I remembered this and it stuck. And to this day, it still sticks. And I guess you can hear it in my voice, just how much it bothers me. It still does after all these years. But along the way, I said to myself, you know, if I'm ever in a situation that requires me to, quote, party, unquote, with my staff, well, it's going to be in a very controlled situation. Because again, I'm not saying it's going to repeat itself. I've not done anything that's going to put that situation to occur again. But you know what? I don't know what's on the other side. Yes, I hire these people. Yes, I work with these people. Yes, same thing in the military. We're thrown together. We worked together when I was in the Army. But I guarantee you, I never behaved that way. So I said to myself, you know, I'm never going to put myself in a situation that's going to be like that. It's going to be more controlled. It's going to be someplace else. I don't want somebody coming in my house and then disrespecting me, disrespecting my home, disrespecting my family. But, you know, again, I'm not trying to get into the specifics, but it's just, you know, that whole situation just bothers me and it baffles me. It's to this day, you know, almost some 35 years later, it still makes my head shake. You know, it's just how is it that people can do this? And then these are now, you know, I've followed along and I've seen a couple of them. I mean, one is a respected high school principal outside of Minneapolis and it's like, well, you know, people change. I understand that. But again, you know, you follow this path and you see this big disruption. It's like, well, how did this happen? Maybe that's what it took to shake them up. I don't know. I don't care. What I'm talking about is bad leaders. So for me, I became the bad leader. I became the bad leader because, again, I detached myself from these people. Now, completely detached. I was invited to go do this. I was invited to go do that, but I didn't do it. I didn't go. My entire time working for the state agency, because of that, I never went to the Christmas parties because, again, I didn't want to be put myself in a situation that was, well, basically not going to be pretty. But you get older, you get wiser, you start putting two and two together, you start making things happen, you start realizing, okay, yeah, you know what? This is what we're going to do. And we're not going to put ourselves in situations. So we're going to be the adults. We're going to make things happen. And so we change our pattern of behavior. Okay? So what I'm getting at is that it didn't stop me. I had to change. I had to realize, you know what? I'm leading these people now. Now I have a staff. Now I have to do stuff. Now I'm leading people. I'm training people. I'm making people. I'm making new leaders. I'm helping make new leaders. So what do? Well, I just curtailed, or I didn't take it to that extreme, I guess. It didn't stop me from taking my staff out to lunch or to a dinner or enjoying a good time when we could and how we could, because, again, we were working hard and we had to do something. However, as I say, that came because out of necessity, it had to be done. Now, you know, these people I was responsible for. Well, you know what? I couldn't detach myself from them. I had grown in the organization. Now I had a group of people that I had to supervise, look out for their welfare, their well-being, look out to ensure that they were trained properly, look out that they were doing their job properly, the job I hired them to do. So now this didn't mean that I was buddy-buddy with them. Oh, far from it. Far from being buddy-buddy with them. But they knew that I had their back, and I knew they had mine, because, again, I had to take care of these people. These people, I needed them more than they needed me. See, some people think the other way. Some people think, oh, well, they come work for you, they need you more. No, I need them more. That's why I hired them. And that's for another topic, if leaders really believe that train of thought, that their employees need them more. No, you're doing it the wrong way. But I'm not going to get into this. That's for a different topic. That's for a different podcast episode. So what I'm getting at here, you know, it's not about becoming buddy-buddy with them, but again, becoming friendly with them and getting to know them, because this is your team. And it's, again, it's, I don't want to fall back, because I keep falling, all I keep thinking about is the last episode. And it's a good thing that, to make friends, and well, it's a good thing to make friends, and it's good to have each other's back. Now, back to the bad leader that is not buddy-buddy with anyone. Well, this may be a good thing, and it's most certainly is a bad thing. It's a good thing that the individual does not get mired or bogged down into a situation that he or she might not be able to get out of, like I talked about. But then again, by not being a friend, it will make it difficult for others to trust him or her. See, the bad leader, or her, you know, in this case, let's say her peers want to know that she's got their back as well as they have hers. But when the leader is distant and hesitant to get close to any one of her peers or coworkers, creating and sustaining trust is going to be next to impossible. It really is. Now, don't get me wrong about the level of friendships I'm talking about. See, and I'm going to quote one of my favorite lines from one of my favorite military movies, because it really wasn't a war movie. Maybe the last couple of minutes was war. But to quote Master Gunnery Sergeant Tom Highway in the motion picture Heartbreak Ridge, remember that with Clint Eastwood? "Just because we're holding hands doesn't mean we'll take warm showers until the wee hours of the morning," end quote. And see, what I mean is a healthy relationship that is based on more than just a hiya and a nod of the head at the break room coffee machine. It's, you know, that's what I'm talking about. It's based on more than just that. You know, you've got to take that little extra step. You actually have to say more than just hiya, but you actually have to talk to each other. Imagine that. And it doesn't always have to be about business. But that's why you, as an up-and-coming leader, must walk that fine line again. You must be more than just friendly to those around you. You also have to be a friend that does not overdo it with each of your team members, with your superiors and your peers, and outside of your immediate area of responsibility. You have to be that with everybody. Remember, everybody's in it together. You're in it together. And by being in it together, it also means you have to trust each other. And then there's only one way you can start to trust each other, and that's by getting to know each other. See, remember what Gunny Highway said, okay? Now, don't forget it. Always remember what Gunny Highway said. And you can't go wrong with building a solid team that's based on trust and knows only one objective, and that's success. You know, it took me a lifetime from one bad experience, but I persevered and I grew. And, you know, now I feel a lot better. You know, now I open the door a lot more. Now I chit-chat more. Now I talk more. But, you know, did I hate the time that I was detached? Yes, I did. Yes, I really, truly did. Because, again, I put myself there. But Do I hate it now? No, I don't. No, because I needed to go to that place to become who I am now. So it's experience that we need. But for those up-and-coming leaders, you definitely are going to get to that point, or you might get close, or you might consider getting to that point. But by all means, don't stay there too long if you do go. Listen, in summation, see, and just to wrap all of this up, it behooves you to make friends sooner rather than later, especially when it's too late. See, that's the one thing about living in military housing or being an Army brat, is we made friends real quick because we didn't know how long we were going to be there, and they didn't know how long they were going to be there, even though they just arrived. I do recall there was one friend I'd made, and they had just arrived, and say within a month or so later, he was gone. So it's like, again, you don't know that, but that's the neat thing behind being a military brat. You have that in you. It's not a necessity. It's not a survival. And I think that's kind of what helped me get through and past it. But again, it was just a very bad time. It was a very bad situation. And again, I'm glad I'm grown out of it. I'm glad that one guy grew out of it and did something with his life and did something positive. But by the same token, again, you know, it's at some point you've got to realize you can't just do and behave that way. But again, it's part of growing up. Well, listen, as I said, make friends sooner rather than later, because the success of your organization, your team, and you depends on it. I'm David Guerra. This has been episode 54 of the Walking Leader podcast, continuing that Bad Leaders Aren't series. And I thank you for your time. I thank you for taking all this time to listen to me talk here and rant and rave. And I hope you take a little bit something out of it. And if not, let me know. And if you do, definitely let me know. I'll talk to you later. Thanks a lot. Talk to you real soon.